President Trump will take this opportunity to attack China for its role in the origins of COVID.
World leaders prepare to gather virtually. It's Monday, September 21st. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us as well online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, a popular and iconic U.S. Supreme Court justice has died. Schools open online. Extraterrestrial life may be closer than thought. It's all on today's VOA Asia. World leaders will virtually convene this week at the United Nations General Assembly. With more than 30 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 worldwide, the virus is certain to top their agenda. VOA's Margaret Bashir has a preview.
The usual crowds at the annual United Nations General Assembly will not be there this year. World leaders will not be present in New York due to the pandemic. Instead, they will send pre-recorded video messages. Many will likely focus on the economic and health crises caused by the coronavirus.
The COVID-19 pandemic is a crisis unlike any in our lifetime, and so this year's General Assembly session will be unlike any other too. We have a full program, and the stakes could not be higher.
As scientists work on a vaccine, leaders will hold a virtual session on September 30th to discuss ways to speed up the development of a safe and effective vaccine that can be accessible to people around the world. They will also focus on the importance of an economic recovery that addresses global inequalities, is sustainable, and mitigates climate change.
The world is burning, and recovery is our chance to get on track and tame the flame.
Unlike person-to-person meetings in years past, the virtual nature of this year's sessions has resulted in the largest turnout of presidents, prime ministers, and royals, with more than 170 sending in video statements. The UN will be practicing stringent COVID-19 protocols. Only one delegate from each country will be allowed in the General Assembly Hall during the annual debate. President Donald Trump is scheduled to give one of the most anticipated video speeches. Analysts expect Trump to focus on his domestic achievements and ratchet up his rhetoric against China.
I think that President Trump will take this opportunity to attack China for its role in the origins of COVID and also blame the WHO for failing to contain the disease.
Trump may also take aim at Iran, claiming that Washington has triggered the snapback of all UN sanctions on Tehran, a view not shared by many other member states. There will also be virtual side meetings on the conflict in Libya and support for Lebanon in the aftermath of the August 4th explosion at Beirut port. This year marks the UN's 75th anniversary. An observance will be held on Monday, but celebrations are muted as the organization focuses on tackling the coronavirus pandemic. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, New York.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. China unveils rules on umbrella entities after Washington's TikTok ban. Death of Tibetan commando offers insight into little-known elite Indian force. Taliban want Islamic system of government as focal point of Afghan talks. Afghan media fear losing freedom in Taliban peace talks. Australia to allow more citizens stranded by COVID-19 border controls to return. You'll find more on these stories, photos, video, and text, all on Facebook at VOA Asia and the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the second woman to serve on the nation's highest court, has died at age 87 in Washington. Ginsburg entered the legal profession at a time when there were few women lawyers. She spent her career working to expand women's equality and came to have near rock star status in progressive circles. VOA's Julie Tabo shares more.
I, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, do solemnly swear.
On August 10, 1993, Ruth Bader Ginsburg became the second woman in U.S. history to become a justice of the United States Supreme Court. Ginsburg knew she wanted to be a lawyer by her third year in college.
That's the same thing that they come to the party doing too long.
She was motivated by the Red Scare that gripped the nation in the 1950s when Americans were afraid of the perceived threat posed by the Soviet Union. Led by Senator Joseph McCarthy, thousands of people were publicly accused of being communists.
Look at the very First Amendment. What does it say? If lawyers can be helping us get back in touch with our most basic values, that's what I want to be.
Ginsburg's parents discouraged her from studying law, fearful that she would not be able to find a job in the male-dominated profession.
The class numbered over 500. Nine of us were women.
She graduated from Columbia Law School in 1959, and, as her parents had predicted, she found breaking into a man's world challenging.
There wasn't a single firm in the entire city of New York that was willing to take a chance on me.
But with the help of a sympathetic professor, she got a clerkship. Soon after, she started teaching at Rutgers University School of Law and Columbia Law School. In 1972, Ginsburg founded the Women's Rights Project to work for equality for women and girls in all spheres of life. Lenora Lapidus is director of the project, an initiative of the American Civil Liberties Union.
Throughout the 1970s, as she led the Women's Rights Project, she brought case after case to the Supreme Court in order to establish that the Constitution prohibited sex discrimination.
Two decades later, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a member of that court, appointed in 1993 by President Bill Clinton. During her time at the Supreme Court, she was an articulate voice for the liberal wing of the bench. Ginsburg believed that gender barriers facing women in the workplace today have all but disappeared in the United States. What remains, she said, is something a court cannot mandate. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg says she has always tried to do what she believes is right.
I hope that I will be remembered as someone who loves the law, loves her country, loves humanity, prizes the dignity of every individual, and works as hard as she can with whatever talent she has to make the world a little better than it was when I entered it.
Julie Tabo, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, openly challenging the monarchy of Thailand's king, thousands of protesters marched in Bangkok Sunday to present demands that include a call for reforms to curb his powers. Protesters have grown ever bolder during 2 months of demonstrations against Thailand's palace and military-dominated establishment. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Across America, a new school year has begun, and for many, that means remote online instruction every day. Deanna Mitchell checks in on how students and parents are coping with education in the COVID era.
For many, schooling via computer has meant internet crashes and bad connections. On the first day of school, most students in the largest district in Texas, the Houston Independent School District, couldn't log in to It's Learning, a remote educational management system that utilizes Microsoft Office tools.
And teachers and students were very frustrated because they could not access their classes. Of course, you know, teachers' cell phones, emails, school phones, of course, were on blast because everybody was trying to call them saying, we cannot access, you know, our classes.
By the end of the week, many problems had been resolved. But students around the country are experiencing a bumpy ride with remote learning, often leading to frustration. Azucena Itule Ramos is entering her junior year in high school in Berkeley, California. A critical year for college-bound students, she hopes to attend prestigious Brown University, and she feels the pressure to perform well, even during a pandemic. She is learning via the video meeting app, Zoom, 3 hours every morning, followed by hours of homework.
A lot of the times my eyes hurt at the end of the day, especially with my biology class, which is going twice as fast. I'm having to do 6 hours of homework after school by myself.
One of her teachers struggles with technical problems.
Not being able to get to the Zoom and she not knowing how to fix that, or like the password not working, and then you're locked out of the class. And she's always like, oh, I don't know what to tell you. It's still due. But I'm like, I don't know what to do if it's not working.
Remote learning isn't exactly new. Some Americans learned to paint from a 1980s television show featuring artist Bob Ross. Millennials grew up learning from YouTube. But teaching remotely to an entire class presents unique challenges that only a limited number of institutions have fully overcome. Salman Khan started Khan Academy in 2004, an online education website that features courses in a wide variety of subjects in more than 40 languages, all free. Today, Khan Academy has more than 100 million users worldwide, from preschoolers to college students.
Districts are trying to transplant what they were doing in the physical realm and putting it straight onto video conference. And it's a start, but I think we're almost erring on the side of too much now. Teachers are feeling overwhelmed because they have to do everything they were doing before, but now they have this added dimension of how do I virtualize it?
Khan Academy has resource guides for teachers on how better to teach online and keep students engaged.
Teachers and schools, where possible, should be able to architect fun things. If the kids don't feel emotionally and mentally supported right now, the academics are going to be that much harder.
To make the most of online learning, he says take frequent breaks. When sites crash, step away. And as is often required during a pandemic, take a deep breath. Dina Mitchell for VOA News, Oakland, California.
Now on VOA Asia, researchers on a quest to find life in the universe got some promising news. Space agencies are joining forces to defend the planet from an aggressive asteroid and one of the best places on Earth to view the stars. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has the week in space.
Good news this week for explorers seeking extraterrestrial life. Scientists say they have detected a gas called phosphine swirling in the highly acidic clouds of Venus. But the European Southern Observatory's Itziar de Gregorio says it is probably too soon to say life exists on the planet.
This doesn't mean that we discovered extraterrestrial life on Venus. Far from it. It is possible that we are unaware of a chemical that produces this phosphine, and we have to investigate in that direction.
The quest to study Venus began in 1960 with the Pioneer 5 space probe. But with this week's development, there's heightened interest in the planet. On Earth, bacteria thriving in oxygen-starved environments like sewers and intestines produce the gas phosphine. The discovery on Venus is raising speculation that microbial life exists there, but De Gregorio adds that the phosphine source could simply be something researchers have yet to study. In other news that could be ripped from the pages of a science fiction novel, NASA and the European Space Agency, or ESA, joined forces this week to build a spacecraft to deflect an Earth-bound asteroid.
This mission is essentially a demonstration so we can understand how these technologies could be used. It's like billiards. A small force hits the asteroid that is heading for Earth, which should create an aversion, and we want to practice this so that we are ready if an asteroid is actually heading for us.
NASA is set to launch a craft in June 2021 on a collision course with the asteroid to attempt altering its flight path. If the mission succeeds, the ESA will launch a follow-up in 2024. In other news, images from space showed the vast and ancient ice sheet atop Greenland shed a 113 square kilometer chunk of ice last month.
The new research is yet another important piece of evidence showing that it's really time we stop hitting the snooze button and wake up to the climate emergency. We need to curb climate emissions right now, immediately.
Dr. Laura Meller from Greenpeace says the time to act is now. As more ice melts, experts say more dark water appears in its place, absorbing heat, further accelerating the process of melting ice and rising seas. And finally, UNESCO certifies Italy's St. Bartolome Valley as a starlight stellar park, meaning it's one of the best places on Earth to look up at the sky. The northern Italian municipality takes its designation seriously, having recently replaced lampposts with special LEDs that do not shine up. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, all at VOA Asia. Find our full-length programs at voanews.com. Thanks so much for being with us today, and we thank those who helped bring the program to you, our managing editor, Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a super day ahead. Be safe. Be well.